A name to run the SEC, hazard pay during COVID, and software in China to detect ethnic minorities. I'm David Brancaccio. President-elect Biden will reportedly pick Gary Gensler to head the Securities and Exchange Commission, which, of course, oversees investors and the stock market. This from the news agency Reuters. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer joins us now. Nancy, we've covered him before, but remind us about Gensler's background.
He earned millions of dollars at Goldman Sachs, but he left in the late 90s, David, to work in the Treasury Department during the Clinton administration. He ran the Commodity Futures Trading Commission during the Obama administration. He was a very tough financial regulator. He helped implement the Dodd-Frank reforms after the financial crisis.
And what kinds of reforms might he pursue as head of the SEC if he gets in?
He could undo some of the Trump administration's SEC regulations, including rules that limit shareholder resolutions at company meetings. He could also toughen up regulations on what public companies have to disclose to their shareholders. Jaime Marlier, a partner at Morrison & Foerster and former SEC senior trial counsel, told us Gensler could set the tone by using what's known as a broken windows strategy.
A broken windows enforcement strategy pursues even minor securities laws violations to send a strong enforcement message to would-be wrongdoers and to the markets.
Now, David, President-elect Biden hasn't officially announced Gensler's nomination, and of course, he'd still need to be confirmed by the Senate.
All right. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer married a fellow named Genzer, and now will be getting assigned to lots of stories featuring a man named Gensler. It just seems right. With debate on a second impeachment of President Trump underway now in Congress, the stock market is not especially volatile. The Dow is down 8 points. The S&P 500 is up 0.2%. The NASDAQ is up 0.5%. Susan Schmidt is head of U.S. equities at Aviva Investors.
Both last week and this week, thus far, the market is ignoring what's going on in Washington, focused on monetary support, fiscal stimulus, and what businesses are going to say in upcoming earnings.
We'll know more from President-elect Biden tomorrow on his economic plans, right?
Definitely. And the market will pay attention to that. They want to understand how the government is going to support the economy going forward.
One of the big stories of this week for us so far has been movement upward after all these months in the benchmark 10-year interest rate. What do you think? You follow the Fed. Do you think this suggests that maybe the central bank could also raise rates, worrying about inflation at some point?
Fed governors have come out and been very vocal to say that they think the pandemic is the biggest issue they have and their support of the economy is going to continue to be a focus for them. Powell is going to come out tomorrow and speak to the public. And I think what we're going to hear is a continuation of that message. The Fed is letting you know that they don't intend on raising rates anytime soon.
Susan Schmidt, head of U.S. equities Aviva Investors. She's out of the Chicago office. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
With COVID-19 spreading out of control in many parts of the country, it's never been more risky for essential frontline workers to do their jobs. Yet, many companies are no longer offering hazard pay. For instance, local governments in Los Angeles County, California, a terrible hot zone now, are among those pushing for mandating that essential workers get some kind of pay bump. From the Workplace Culture Desk, Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino reports.
It's been almost 2 months since Susan Hernandez has been to work at a Food for Less grocery store in North Hollywood. In mid-November, she came down with COVID-19, and she's still recovering.
My scariest moments were at night when I couldn't breathe. It felt like they were sharp icicle pains being shot into my lungs, and I didn't know if I was going to make it.
She lives with her husband and two older children who also fell ill. She's convinced she contracted the virus at work, where she says a customer without a mask had yelled in her face just days before.
Every day is a gamble for us. Every second is a gamble for us.
In the early months of the pandemic, that gamble was rewarded with a $2 an hour hazard pay raise. Kroger, which owns Food for Less, discontinued extra pay in June, saying it's committed to gradual and permanent pay raises. Hernandez, with her union, has been pushing to reinstate hazard pay.
That extra $2 in my medicine for 2 months easily raked up to like $200, which I could have used that
LA has seen workplace spread of COVID-19 explode as the county has been hit with a tsunami of cases. Hundreds of employees at more than 24 local retailers have been infected, despite some of the strictest public health measures in the country. Angelica Hernandez works at a Los Angeles McDonald's. She says workers there should get hazard pay because the jobs carry unavoidable risk, even with all the safety measures put in place.
We don't have the space that we need to keep 6 feet. Sometimes there are 5 or 6 of us in the kitchen and we're super close.
She says multiple colleagues have gotten sick, one ending up on a ventilator. So she sent her children to stay with grandparents in order to avoid exposing them to the virus. Molly Kinder is a fellow at the Brookings Institution.
There's just anguishing choices that these workers have between their health, their family's health, and a paycheck.
She says about half of frontline workers are non-white and earn low wages. While many large companies have offered hazard pay increases, the amounts and duration have been uneven.
Some companies have been extremely generous and others have not.
She found Best Buy, Target, and Costco had increased wages the most, while Kroger, Walmart, and Amazon had paid among the smallest bonuses, despite those companies earning billions of dollars in additional revenue during the pandemic. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
To China now, where a U.S. research group has come across a Huawei patent from the Chinese telecommunications giant. It describes a system to distinguish members of an ethnic minority from other faces on the street or in a crowd. The tech specifically targets people of Uyghur descent, and as the BBC's Leo Kellyan reports, it's the latest indication of how China is using advanced surveillance technology to target that mainly Muslim population.
Huawei has previously claimed none of its technologies are designed to identify ethnic groups, but this patent suggests it is at least something it has considered. The patent application refers to a system designed to analyse pedestrians' movements, which it says could be targeted at people according to whether they are a Uyghur, among other attributes. Huawei says it opposes the use of technology to carry out ethnic discrimination and now plans to amend the filing. Similar references have been found in several other patents from Chinese tech companies. They also deny selling products that pick up people by ethnicity. But Human Rights Watch says the firms must cease all sale of surveillance kit to the Chinese police.
Leo Kellyan is with our editorial partner, the BBC. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.